Yo.
Yo.
Freedom
it's
Fiends.
It's the boys. Freedom Fiends.
It's yeah. those fiends.
It's those darn fiends. It's the live Sunday show on LRN.FM. How are y'all doing today? And how are you doing, Mr. Michael W. Dean?
I'm good. I'm enjoying our atomic clocks that let us know exactly when to start speaking. Mine's actually yes. more accurate. They're not actually atomic clocks. We did a blog post about this on our new website, creamyradioaudio.com.
Creamy.
Creamyradioaudio.com. Which, let me go ahead and play the ad for that right now, as long as we're talking about it. I could play it later, but...
All right, go for it.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yo.
Ooh, yeah. Makes me want to cream all over that audio radio.
Creamy.
Or the radio yep. audio. Either or.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So we got a new website, part of the Fiends Empire. It's creamyradioaudio.com. And we're gonna put all our audio posts there instead of putting them on the Fiends site and on the Fiends blog. And yeah, you should bookmark that. You should RSS subscribe. If you're an audio yeah. geek, and if you're not, then you don't have to bother, and you can just read our blog post about how dumb the government is and not have to wade through audio geekery.
Do you feel guilty that somebody, some evil neocon or some silly liberal would get a hold of that info and use it for evil?
I thought about that, but they probably won't. But even if they do, they'll be buying things through the Fiends Amazon link, so we'll get money to further our message. Yeah.
Ah, okay, okay.
And tomorrow I get my tube preamp, so I'll sound even creamier.
Creamier, yeah.
But, so, yeah, atomic clocks. We got these clocks that sync up with the it's a radio clock, actually, that syncs with an atomic clock. Mine is actually slightly more accurate than yours because they have a millisecond delay from correct time per 400 meters. And I'm closer to Fort Collins, Colorado than you are. So you're like 4 milliseconds in the past, dude. I'm only 1 in the past.
It doesn't adjust for that based on
GPS
time zone
no.
or something like that.
You got to pay more no? to get those that adjust by GPS location. But yeah, but they're pretty damn accurate, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, what's a millisecond, right?
Among friends. Yeah. It's really nothing among radio. I mean, it's like, you know, there's like a half second of dead air intentionally between parts in a lot of radio. I've noticed it because I've dissected the some famous radio shows by taking their MP3s and pulling them into a spectrum analyzer. No, into Audacity. Yeah. But yeah.
Which then you analyze the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit of silence is cool to signal the brain
golden.
That something new is starting or that something old has ended, right?
Well, you know, young people have can hear higher than older people, but I can still hear really low tones. Like, I can hear the 25 hertz time codes that come up at certain points in LRN. Do you ever hear them? I hear them.
I don't, no, but I don't really listen for them. I don't sit there and pull them into my DAW. Yeah, boy, and try to find the tones. That's something that you do.
Yeah. So, there is a new show that I want to crow about. I would actually rather be watching this show than podcasting. We've been watching it.
That's saying a lot.
It is. Yeah, like we started watching it last night. We were watching it until about 2 minutes before we went on, and we're gonna start
By
watching.
We,
it.
You mean you and DJ?
Yeah, and the cat and the cats. That's part of the family too.
And the cats. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking at snow out the window, and I'm going to be editing this while watching this show. The show is so great. It's a Netflix original streaming series called House of Cards. I hope that Netflix puts TV out of business because it's so much better. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope that too. Although I'm still waiting on the Netflix exclusive Arrested Development new season. And where is that, man?
I know. Where is we want our Arrested Development?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I really like what Kevin Spacey's in House of Cards, right? He's the main dude.
Yeah. And the first two episodes are directed by David Fincher, who directed Fight Club. He's just got such an amazing look. I think what they do now is they hire someone famous to direct the first episode or two, and then they copy his look. Like they did that with, I think the first episode of Tremé might be directed by, some famous director, you know, whoever did The Godfather, dude. What's his name? Scorsese or, you know, Taxi Driver.
Okay. Some,
yeah. But, and then they just kind of copied the look and feel, but, and that's what the Montana Meth Project did with those commercials. They hired the director of Requiem for a Dream, Darren Aronofsky, to make the first batch and then copied his look. But this show is amazing. It's Kevin Spacey plays a horribly corrupt congressman, which, you know, we know congressmen are by nature corrupt, but he's worse than most and he's evil. And, you know, this series opens with him strangling a dog. So it's a dog that's been hit by a car. He's putting it out of its misery, but he has no problem strangling it. So that's the kind of guy he is. Yeah.
Right.
But
he's just bloodthirsty.
You heard other things about this. You heard it wasn't so great, huh?
Well, I don't know about wasn't so great, but I think Jeffrey Tucker on his Twitter feed tweeted something like House of Cards is good technically and all that, but honestly, I'd be more interested in seeing the drama that goes on behind the scenes at a local Burger King than what goes on in Congress.
I hate anarchists, man. They can't enjoy anything. What? They really can't. Well, I'm an anarchist, but I can enjoy things. You need to be able to suspend your disbelief of statism a little bit. You need to suspension of statism to really, I mean, okay. When Jeffrey, was it Jeffrey Tucker? You said,
yeah.
You know,
when
Jeffrey Tucker writes an anarchist, drama and has it directed by David Fincher and it looks this good, I'll watch it and see what he has to say. But in the meantime, it's what we got.
Well, I don't know. That's something different too, man. Not everybody needs to watch TV dramas.
Jeffrey Tucker needs to review Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom if you want some low budget anarchist media. Where's his review of that?
You seem to have a need or a gap in your media consumption that desires high quality TV dramas. That's why you end up watching things like CSI Miami and stuff, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's kind of a dangerous thing because most of the high quality TV drama, most of the high budget movies out there are so statist.
I don't know, man. I watched Red Dawn again.
If people have that desire, they're going to be brainwashed.
Red Dawn, the old one and the new one. I watched the old one on TV. It's on TV a lot here. I think that people in the Mountain West really like that movie and like to watch it over and over and over because it's on like three times a week here. Always. But that's a really pretty high budget movie that's not very statist. You know, it's very individuals taking things into their own hand. And the worm has a long mustache. The worm has a long mustache.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Although it's one of those things that you can take it sort of. You don't have to be an anarchist to love it. You don't have to be an individualist to love it. I could see minarchists or other stripes of collectivists saying things like,
this
just proves that we need more national security and need to spend more
money on
defense.
The United States federal government is nowhere to be seen in that movie, pretty much, except for broadcasting John has a long mustache. I mean, really, you know.
Yeah, but I think that's a point that statists could take to heart and be like, well, that's the problem then. You know, that's why the North Koreans could invade the West Coast is because we didn't have enough national government or federal government defending our borders.
Well. See, I mean, statists could watch House of Cards and say, see, that's why Congress needs to be fixed. Or they could say, you know, the main character who's horribly corrupt is a Democrat. Democrats could say, see, at least we got someone this effective on our side. But to me, I think the whole point of it is the whole thing is effed and there's no redemption, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess I can't really argue one way or the other because I haven't seen it. So maybe I'll take a look and then try to give my own two cents on it.
I told you to watch it last night. What have you been doing between now and then, man?
I slept, man. I got home at 4 a.m.
You're lazy. You can sleep when you're dead, man. Watch Netflix.
All right. Yeah, because that's productive.
It sounds like our corporate sponsor. It's not. It should be. It will be. Worms. A science fiction.
fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe!
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe!
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
It's them silly fiends. Dope fiends. Like we're, dope, like we're dope, dope. And we're fiends.
We are
not
dope.
Not like we're fiends of dope.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't, have, right. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that anymore.
What, the disclaimer or do the dope?
You don't have to do dope anymore. You don't have to live like, you don't have to live like, you don't have to do that anymore, man. The lie
I don't
is
have
dead.
To.
The
yeah.
lie is dead.
I can be a new man. I can be the new anarchist man.
Yeah, as long as you can still enjoy me. I just, really, that thing about like, I mean, I guess I've never started pod beef with, who was it? Paul Canseca? No. Canesa?
Paul Anderson.
No.
Mr. Anderson.
Who were you talking about that tweeted about that show?
Jeff Tucker.
The show that's going to put TV out of business, hopefully. Yeah, I've never pod beefed with him, but I just really, it bugs me when people are so hardline about living in their bubble, their libpair bubble, and out of touch with reality that they can't enjoy the finer things that life has to offer, that the world has
to
offer.
Well, how do you know that's why he can't enjoy it? And also, enjoyment is so subjective. It seems odd that that would bug you, that he doesn't enjoy it because of that. I mean, that's why I can't watch... I can't watch at all any CSIs. I can't watch
any I could see
TV
that.
Police dramas at
that.
All, man.
I could see not liking that, but I think you'll love this. And I love that we're arguing about the merits of a show you haven't seen. That's so fiends, man. That's so fiends.
That is so fiends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, man.
Ben Quaker made it to New Hampshire.
For him.
Google said the trip would be from Greensboro would be 16 hours. It took 24 hours. DC, Jersey, and New York City were unbelievable. Anywhere that you can't have guns, traffic's really bad because people can't wave them at each other out the window to get traffic moving. And
he had to drive through those horrible statist.
Man, you can't get from Georgia
camps,
to
man.
New Hampshire without going through DC, Jersey, New York, and Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah,
you can't swing back around.
Well,
west
you could go through
from...
like you know Idaho, but you'd be like 4 days round
no.
trip out of your yeah. It's okay. all horrible okay. about horrible around there, man. New Hampshire is an oasis, an island of less tyranny.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose it is, man. Well, good for New Hampshire.
So I want you to read the new glossary edition. Under the pee-pee kitty entry, I pinged it to you. While you look at that, I'm going to read this. There's a picture on my cat on our cat calendar this week. It says, although there have been many resident felines in the White House, politicians generally opt for dogs over cats. Writers, however, prefer cats. And then it talks about this cat named Meow, which is a polydactyl Hemingway cat. I like that. Mm-hmm. Writers like cats. Politicians like dogs. That's all
well,
you need to know.
Well, politicians desire obedience more than anything else. And you won't ever find an obedient cat. But you can damn sure
it.
Find a bunch of obedient dogs.
Tell
dogs
me about
that
it.
Will sit and do everything you want them to do on command. So,
yeah
I guess that kind of makes sense, man.
Yeah, we didn't get enough sleep last night because the cats were not being obedient and were demanding to foist their will on us and get their way very early in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Dogs wouldn't do that, man. You can't tell cats, go sit down, sit, wait.
No. Even if you lock them out, they go there and they scratch
meow,
on the door.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, I love
constantly.
It.
Constantly. They never get tired of it.
It's like what they live for is to annoy you and demand, make demands on your time.
I like that in an animal.
Cats.
Yeah, cats.
I guess you do.
You have cats and dogs. Yeah. So you're a politician and a writer.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. So read
it kind of makes me sick, though. I used to, I guess I didn't used to want to be, well, maybe I did used to want to be a politician. I don't know, man. I used to want to be important and have power in my younger days. And my family was like, oh, yeah, Nima, Nima. And people were like, oh, yeah, you should go into politics. And for a while, I was like, yeah, maybe I will. But now if I think about it, I just like get nauseous a little bit, throw up in my mouth a little bit. Like,
yeah, I was going to say that if anybody knows a younger person who feels that way, you should sit them down and let them watch House of Cards and it'll cure them of it. But it might not. They might go, yes, if they're really sociopathic, they might go, I want to be the Kevin Spacey congressman when I grow up.
I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe. But then you know more about them and know to avoid them at all costs.
I mean, the first scene in the first episode is him strangling a dog. So that's just, yeah, I mean, yeah. But like I said,
hey,
it was
sit them down hit, and, was, and have them watch Collateral Murder.
It was hit by a car. The dog was hit by a car.
Oh, the dog. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you wanted me to read a new glossary entry on the Fiend site under Peepy Kitty. This is the new edition. The Fiends also call the phrase Walter P. Or, oh, there's a typo.
I'll
here.
Fix okay. that.
The Fiends also use the phrase Walter Peepy Kitty for the James Bond / Sterling Archer personal carry sidearm, the 7-shot 380 ACP Walter PPK, to make fun of the fact that such manly men carry such tiny pea shooter mouse guns for protection, and to make fun of tiny guns in general. Though the Freedom Fiends also know that any gun is better than no gun, and anywhere the ultra concealment is an issue for one reason or another, the PPK would be a fine carry pistol.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ultra concealment, though. I don't know, rappers, man. I feel like
don't rappers rap about tiny guns because they live in places where any, you know, if the gun prints, you're going to go to prison?
It goes back and forth, kind of. Spice One of old West Coast fame, who was also really big in the Houston DJ Screw scene because DJ Screw would always play his records and play his beats for other people to rap over. Spice One used to always talk about 9, and then he had a song where he was like, I'm on that 380 tip now. So he did a whole song about how he switched from 9 to 380 because, like, presumably it was easier to carry.
Well, I was thinking too about the manly men with tiny mouse guns. Maybe it's that they're so manly that's all the gun they need. You know, like, yeah, most of what they do is with hand-to-hand combat. So
Yeah, I guess that could
but they
be
go
it, man.
Both James Bond and Archer go up against like squads of people with automatic weapons using their PP Kitty gun and win. Because in movies, people always miss with machine guns in movies, which is ridiculous because a blind person wouldn't miss firing that many rounds as they have people not getting hit by. And if they get hit, they're winged in the shoulder, you know.
Right, right. Well, it's a movie. But man, I carry my 9 concealed and it's pretty decent size. I mean, it's a Springfield XD with a 3.5-inch something barrel. And I can carry it in dress pants and tuck in a dress shirt and nobody knows or is none the wiser. So
I like that gun. I used to have that gun.
Yeah, it's a great gun.
Yep. Mine jammed a few times though in a really bad way. And I got rid of it and got a Glock, which never jams. But it jammed with a bullet, like, about to fire. Like, I couldn't take it apart. And there was a bullet seated, ready to be hit by the pin. And I couldn't take it apart. We took it to the gun store where we bought it. And they submerged it in oil and poked a dowel down it and shoved the bullet back and then opened it up. Which is not... Kids, don't try this at home.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun job.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I haven't had any problems with mine yet, but I guess we'll see. I'll report if I have any issues with it, because we try to be as transparent as possible here at the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should give out the call-in number. It's 307-215-5171, or via Skype to username KittyFeet1. While we're waiting for calls, I'd like to welcome our first ever listener from Rwanda. The domain extension is .rw. I had looked that up. And we'll be taking calls right after the sales pitch here.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. That'd be great if we could get the Rwandan person to call in. And then we have a couple of different international calls on our under our belt. So awesome, man. We'll be back.
Yeah.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. This is Nima Badat, a.k.a. Nima B. We got Michael W. Dean over there in his windowless bunker in Wyoming. We're back for this third segment of the first hour. It is February 24th on Sunday. You can call us. Our phone number is 307-215-5171. And right now we do have a topic we would like to talk about. I had somebody I know, an acquaintance, listen to the show. I believe it was the last show. He liked the audio. He liked our concept of getting $1 million sound out of $1,000 or less of equipment. But I guess he's described himself as a little left of center. Like when he saw that the podcast was news and views, he was like, "Oh, I'm assuming a left of center." And I was like, "Ha, no." And he goes, "Right of center." And I'm like, "Ha, no." I'm like, "We're not even on that spectrum, man. We're like north of center." Or
well, and if you have
no center to us,
if you have to put that on, if you have to put us on that, you know, with drugs, we are far to the left of Nancy Pelosi, and with guns, we are far to the right of Ted Nugent. And I know you're going to say, "Yeah, I don't like to fit us into that," but if you have to fit us into that, that's where we'd be.
If you had to, but you wouldn't understand the reasons because we're way too cool for that.
Right. His problem was that we didn't bash Republicans. We didn't bash conservatives. We only bashed liberals. So we're going to bash.
He didn't say that. He just said you bash liberals a lot. And I was like, "Yeah, well, we bash conservatives a lot too. I guess we just didn't on that day."
Well, we're fair and balanced. We're fair and balanced, and we believe in what was that law that they passed and then rescinded for the FCC?
Equal time.
So we're going to give equal time to bashing conservatives today. You know who ran, you know who controlled radio before the FCC existed? The Department of Commerce. Yeah, the Department of Ruining Commerce.
Right.
So the first thing I want to say about Republicans, Mitt Romney, Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, and Ted Nugent were all draft dodgers. And we think draft dodging is a good thing because we think that being forced to go kill people you've never even seen is not a good thing. But those guys all day, every day, support the troops, support the troops, support the troops. Ted Nugent especially. You know, Ted Nugent says some things that I agree with so much, and then he says some things that just blow it. He said the coolest thing the other day about politicians responding to gun violence by outlawing guns. He said, when the coyotes are attacking your cats, you don't declaw your cats. And as someone whose cat has been attacked by a coyote, I really agree. But that guy pooed his pants to get out of the army, out of Vietnam War.
Which he did a few whole segments on a cast about a year ago about.
Rush Limbaugh got out first on a student deferment and then a medical deferment for a cyst on his butt, you know, a boil on his ass, basically.
His pain in the ass was what got him out of the
military. So he could focus on being a pain in the ass to everybody else.
Right.
Mitt Romney, talk about what Mitt Romney did during the Vietnam War.
Oh, he protested against draft dodgers. He went and held signs and had pro-Vietnam War protests.
That is so square.
While everybody else who had a brain in their head was realizing how awful this invasion of some Southeast Asian country that nobody had
heard
even
of,
thought of.
Really, yeah. People didn't know what it yeah. was. Yep.
And he sat there with a sign promoting the war. And then he got out because his dad's a senator and he's in college.
I ain't no fortunate son. I ain't no senator's son, as Creedence Clearwater Revival sang.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't no Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
It could have just as easily been the lyric.
I want to interject. I want to thank Matt and Jean for their $100 donation. Wee.
Ah, thank you.
And I want to say, I meant to say this for last four shows. We want some volunteers that know us, that have talked to us before, to help out with the Facebooking. So drop an email to talkback@freedomfiends.com, and we'll let you know the details. Does not pay, but it will get you on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And I did sell my two preamps, so you can all stop bugging me about that. So yeah, back to conservatives and the wars that they love to love that they wouldn't participate in any world.
And one of the biggest ones is the drug war, man. I actually, last cast, I was talking about Ann Coulter and how she called libertarians, quote, a bunch of pussies.
Cats. We're getting ready for radio.
As you wish. Well, that's a direct quote.
That doesn't matter on radio.
No? Okay.
Nope.
Fair enough. Anyway.
What'd she call them? What'd she call libertarians? What did Ann Coulter call libertarians?
A bunch of meow.
A bunch of what? Yeah.
I can't say it. You told me not to say it.
I'll fix it. You say it. A bunch of...
A bunch of pussies.
Cats.
Yeah. So, I looked into it and finally found out why... she said that and what was behind it. And it was the drug war of all things. It wasn't foreign policy. It was that libertarians will buddy up with liberals sometimes and join forces against the drug war. And she was saying, you know, we've got financial Armageddon, she called it, and we don't need to be focusing on things like that. And this is sort of a conservative canard is, oh, come on, you guys are really concerned with legalizing PCP now when we've got all these other problems. But, man, it's the same root that is the drug war, that causes the drug war, the thought that the government can regulate and control certain segments of the economy, like prohibiting the sale and trade of certain items. I mean, that's the root of what is making the economy so horrible, or at least one of them.
Well, first of all, legalizing drugs would help the real economy. Second of all, you know, there'd be a little bubble where it hurt the economy because a bunch of murderers and kidnappers would be out of a job. So by saying that she wants to help the economy by keeping drugs illegal, and Coulter is saying that she basically thinks we should create jobs by shooting grandma, which is what drug warriors do. You know, they often go into the wrong house and they shoot people. They do it all the time.
Right, right. Well, the drug war is also one of the roots of the police state, or at least they share a root in that. Yeah, man, would we have property forfeiture like we have now without the drug war, where the cops just steal your hotel or steal $10,000 cash a day? Oh, well, it could have been from drugs, and the burden of proof is on you, not us.
Yeah, if you're into
guilty until you can somehow prove that you didn't make this money through drugs.
If anyone listening, or if you know anyone who's listening and want to lay this logic on them, if somebody believes in the right to keep and bear arms in America, but supports the war on drugs, they are shooting themselves in their own foot, because the war on drugs is directly responsible for militarizing the police, and the police saying, you don't need to have guns anymore. We're here to protect you. And to say something even more incendiary that is true, if you are a total support the troops type, you want your guns taken away, because the First Amendment, and we said this before, we're going to start saying this every show, especially when we get on radio. The Second Amendment is basically about keeping away the need for a standing army. So if you believe in a standing army, you think there shouldn't be a militia, which means you don't need to have a gun. Hey, Fiend, who is this?
This is Miles, aka Hesperus.
Miles knows a lot about history. What do you have to say,
Miles,
about all this?
Well, actually, the reason why I was calling in was a bit of an ethical quandary for you.
Okay.
Know how a lot of these gun companies are not selling, quite a few gun companies are not selling guns to police in quote-unquote banned states?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's one small company in Idaho that they later retracted this comment, but they said that pressuring them to not sell to police in banned states was an initiation of force.
Ha! They're wrong. They're wrong, and that's all we have to say about that. I don't know that it's effective in any way other than making a point. Because, you know, it's kind of like
it would be effective if it everyone were the gun companies that actually sell to these things. If it was Smith and Wesson,
yeah,
and
they'll never stop
Ruger.
Selling. They'll never stop selling to the
right.
military police industrial
right.
complex.
I mean, so far, one of the interesting things though is Magpul in Colorado has said they'd move their whole operation away from Colorado, taking those precious jobs with
those precious
them.
80 jobs or whatever. Yeah,
it's like 200, but I guess they also do a lot of business with people who do plastic injection molding and stuff around Colorado.
Well, we're going to keep Hesperus on over the break and record it for the archives, which is another good reason to go to the Fiend archives. Worms. Worms. So, Hesperus, go on with your bad self.
Well, the other big thing I was going to ask is, how's the getting on radio thing? Is that progressing along as planned?
Absolutely.
That was a real attention grabber when you started off that show with, I'd like to order that Comrex.
Oh, Nima, you didn't hear that, did you?
Uh-uh.
I recorded myself ordering the Comrex, my side of it, and I used like the first 10 seconds of me calling to order it at the beginning of the last cast in the archive.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good thinking.
And on the subject of what you said about banning guns and banning drugs, what you've got there is cognitive dissonance. There are so many people who don't acknowledge the fact that there are, all rights, if they are rights at all, are interrelated. The thing that really fries me the most is, they make a lot of fuss about the people who are pro-hunting but anti-gun. But there are people, mm-hmm. I've met them, who are pro-gun and anti-hunting.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, it all boils down to property rights for me. And the drug war was one of the biggest, most widespread things in America where they were like, well, we have the right to take your property. If you have these drugs, and we don't consider these drugs as any kind of valid property. So they take one classification of item and they decide that nobody can have hold property in that classification. And then people just give them carte blanche to do whatever they want with regards to it. It's not even a slippery slope. I mean, that's it. That's the root.
Oh, yes. Well, it's just absolutely mind-boggling that you can just declare arbitrarily a substance completely illegal. One of the mm-hmm. things, I remember reading the thing a while ago where they mentioned, what would it be like if after they had gotten rid of alcohol prohibition, if they had just decided, okay, we're not going to ban alcohol anymore, but we're going to ban tobacco instead.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, when we come back from the break, Hesperus, can you put on a different voice and pretend to be defending Ann Coulter, and then we'll fiend drone you and hang up on you?
Ooh, damn.
And I'll leave this part in.
I might not be very good at it, but I'll certainly give it my level best.
And I'll leave this part in so people listening to the archives know what happened, but it'll be kind of fun radio.
Know that we didn't actually drone Hesperus. That's a good idea.
No, but he's not going to be Hesperus.
We drone our own people.
He's going to be Mark from Fort Collins, Colorado.
And I think I have to play the Fiend Drone audio because otherwise Miles won't hear it.
Okay.
So,
yeah, let him go for like 20 seconds. Let's practice.
Why don't you say, Nima, release the drones, like in your Mr. Burns voice.
Yes, yes. Excellent. Excellent.
Nima, release the drones.
No, I'll say it. You don't say it.
Michael, say it.
Nima. Oh. Nima, release the drones. Wait, I need
there
a different.
You go.
I need the central scrutinizer.
Well, we're coming back in about 1 minute.
Okay, I'm going to say we have Mark from Fort Collins on the air. So, release the drones. That's a good one. All right, so.
Ah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Welcome back, Fiends. We finished up with Hesperus over the, we can't call it a break, over the sales segment. And we have another caller on who wants to talk about Ann Coulter. And this is Mark from Fort Collins, Colorado. How you doing there, Mark?
I am horribly insulted by your comments towards Ann Coulter.
What?
I mean, you people claim to be some kind of libertarians, but what you are talking about is an initiation of force against a dedicated American patriot who is just trying to improve the lives of everyone who isn't a goddamn
Nima.
Liberal.
Nima, release the drones.
Release the
drones. Fiend drone.
All right. Yeah.
And that's all we have to say about that.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yep. So, you got anything else about Ann Coulter? Or are we going to talk
about Ann?
Handyman.
We've got a good segment for, or a good segue from drones, though. I did want to bash another female conservative, opinionated person here. Jennifer Rubin wrote a whole opinion piece in the Washington Post called "How Unserious Is Obama About National Security?" unserious. That's a really interesting word to use in your headline. Not very compelling. But basically, she says Obama's so bad at national security, which, I mean, from my point of view, he is, just for different reasons. But she goes on to say basically that that our greatest national security threat, Iran, Obama is doing nothing about.
Iran.
And she quotes this report.
North Korea is a much bigger threat, and really a bigger threat than that. The biggest threat to national security is the United States federal government. I mean, when somebody needs to make a Hollywood movie that's like a Red Dawn type movie where the federal government is the Russians, because that's the most likely scenario. I guess that our buddy's working on that with the Gray State movie, but I could turn on my TV and see that. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put requirements on them, but I would like to see that. I would like to turn on Cable Town and see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
Gray State. What did I say? Red State? Gray State.
No, you said Gray State. You got it right. But she quotes this thing like it's really scary that some official in Iran says, "We will not accept anything beyond our obligations and will not accept anything less than our rights," when he's talking about the non-proliferation treaty and how they follow all the rules. And that's supposed to scare us out of our panties, is that Iran says,
panties,
"We will accept our rights." You know? Oh my God, they claim rights? Wow.
Panties.
She says that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the only thing standing between Iran and the West for total destruction. Like, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to save us all because Obama is falling asleep on the job. And she says that Obama's the best thing pretty much he's done is the drone war. So that sums up one of my big problems with conservatives in a nutshell, is they are the pussy cats, and they're the ones that are so scared of something thousands of miles away that has never even said
Iran,
they want to hurt us.
Iran, man, their nuclear capability, their military capabilities. They recently launched a worm into space. Remember that? The worm is in space.
It was
space.
A monkey.
No. Iran launched a worm into space, didn't they?
They did a worm too.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the big news was a monkey, and then people were like, "Oh, it's Ahmadinejad's cousin, her."
Or hey, Iran, 1960s called. They said they want their technology.
I don't know,
back.
Man. I think you should never underestimate a dedicated people with old Russian rifles on horseback.
Yeah, if they're defending their homes, yeah. Man, like they're the Wolverines.
You know, you know, that was something I liked in the new Red Dawn. The older brother in it isn't just the older brother. He's a military vet, a combat vet. And when he's training the kids like they do in the first one, training them how to shoot and how to do tactical things and how to hide and how to shoot and hide and shoot and move and shoot. He says, when I was over in the Middle East, we were the good guys. Now we're the bad guys. I kind of like that. Like basically the bad guys are the people defending.
Better than that.
They're defending your own land. You're a bad guy to America.
Right, right. Was even better than that. He said, we were the good guys. We were there to enforce order. Now we're the bad guys. We're here to create chaos.
Yeah.
And then they
yeah.
had a montage of them messing a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was backwards, but I think that was sort of ironic. Like, I think he said it knowing the irony in his head, because later he has this monologue about how it's so much easier. You know, war is hell, but it's so much easier if what you're doing is defending your home.
Yeah.
It makes it not feel as horrible.
And
to
it
you.
Doesn't always go well. There's something I forgot about in the original Red Dawn. In the first 5 minutes, you know, when the Russians and, what is it, Cubans or Guatemalans? Nicaraguans, I think, maybe.
Was it? Okay.
Are shooting up the town. They show a scene of a pickup truck close up on the bumper sticker that says, "You can have my gun when you take it out of your cold, dead hands." And then the camera pulls back and the truck owner is lying dead on the ground with a gun in his hand. And one of the invading soldiers takes it out of his hand and puts it in his pocket. His hand wow. ain't even cold yet, man. I forgot about that.
Yikes.
And they find out which people might be the dissidents to round them up. The Russian colonel says to his men, "Go to the hardware store and get form 4437. It'll tell you who has private gun ownership." And then they round those people up and put them in reindoctrination camps where they're playing a recording over and over that says, "America is a feculent whore who has co-opted the revolutionary ideas of your forefathers into capitalism." I like that. It's like they still like in their propaganda, like, you know, the Revolutionary War people were heroes, but then it immediately gotten forgotten, you know.
Right.
Like, I guess as long as you're shooting the establishment, an invading army likes you. So because they're there to shoot the establishment.
Right. Right.
Damn,
well,
commies.
I've got one more thing to bash. Speaking of that, this quote unquote capitalism and still bashing conservatives, man. They are such corporate welfare whores. Can I say that?
Oh, are you going to talk about the meat inspection thing?
Oh, no, but if you've got meat, want to inspect the meat, go for it.
I want to inspect the meat, man. Yeah, they're doing this like poison pill thing that goes in because Republicans and Democrats can't agree on what taxes to raise and what things to cut the budget on. So what they're doing is they're not going to cut any subsidies to meat ranchers. They're going to cut money on meat inspection. So basically they're like, well, we have a monopoly on meat inspection, so we're going to use it. And hopefully a bunch of people will die. I think they're thinking, hopefully a bunch of people will die and then demand their congressmen steal more money to pay for something that should be done cheaper and better in the private market anyway.
Which, if you think, that sounds like such a conspiracy thing. It's not.
That's how it works, man.
We see this in local city governments all the time, and I'm pretty sure officials have pretty much said as much before, that when it comes to a budget crisis, what you cut first is the things that people notice.
Right.
You cut park services, you cut things at schools to where kids will go home and say, "I didn't get to play music today. They took away my violin," and things like that. You cut things to where people will make an outcry.
Yeah, they're not really holding a gun to your head, but it's the same effect. With the meat inspection, they're holding a worm to your head. You know, they're hoping that you'll get like tapeworm and die or something. Holding a worm to your gut.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah, that's one huge thing. The other huge thing about conservatives and stealing money and the reason the economy sucks, man, is, you know, you don't even call it the military-industrial complex anymore. Now I've heard it called just the complex because it's so many things.
Yeah, because we've tried to say the military-industrial recovery health police.
Private prison.
Yeah, private prison. Yeah.
But it's just the complex now.
And that sounds so conspiratorial to your average person. But it is. Yeah, I mean, even if it's not a conspiracy with George Soros sending secret encrypted memos to the president and telling him of all countries and telling him what to do, it's more like that's what works to keep the power people who steal in power without having to have any honest work and taking the money from and controlling. I mean, that's all they do. That's what they want to do. It's it's barely a conspiracy. It's more like an evil force of nature. You know, that the sociopaths just want to control. And the ways they do it are by holding a worm to our gut.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all based on the incentive structure too, right? I mean, you have a situation where somebody like Raytheon or Lockheed Martin, they decided to stop selling to the private market because if they sell to the government, they name their price. They're like, oh yeah, the F-22, that's going to be like $20 trillion. You know, obviously it's not that much, but they can pretty much just say a number. And Congress would be like, okay, check, yes, sure. You know, here's a blank check, whatever it is. And then the thing doesn't even have to work, man.
When we come
and
back,
it's not just that. We're going to have... It's everything.
When we come back, we're going to have a freedom fix of a recent encounter I had with the private market and how well it went in Wyoming, especially without unions.
Oh. Ooh, some redemption in the second hour. Coming up.
That's how we should do it every week. Hour of fear and an hour of joy.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Like I said, we are back on the radio.
Did it go out?
You can what give us a call.
Did what I can't say on the air go out yet?
I don't know. It may I don't have. Think so. Okay. I think I cut you off appropriately. I was listening to the audio feed. So,
yeah.
But anyway, we've got to keep on moving on, Michael. And you had wanted to discuss some redemption for the second hour. Is that correct?
Yep. We were talking about how horrible government price controls are and government stealing and people not working for a living and just pointing guns and worms at people for a living. So I want to talk about something I had happen recently that was great that had none of that. And it was really reasonable. It was I got a ground tester for my house because my house has some issues. Because I was thinking the problem with the preamp when I was picking up the radio stations was the ground in my house. It turns out it was the tube, and I replaced the tube with a used one that was fine, and it was just a bad new tube. So I threw it out. So I got some new tubes coming Monday with my tube amp, and I'm going to put a new one in it and test it and then send it out to the person that ordered it. So, but I got a ground tester for my house. They're like $5. Get them at Menards, hardware stores, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really kind of serious issue. It was the hot and neutral wires in most of my house were switched. And that's not the worst scenario. The worst scenario is either hot and ground switched or no ground, which will probably kill you if you touch anything metal in your house. My thing will only kill you if you're touching something metal and it shorts out inside. Whereas once it's fixed properly, if it shorts out and it's metal, it'll probably just flip your breakers. Whereas the way it was with me, it would kill you, then flip your breakers. So I called an electrician and to fix the hot and neutral reversed problem. And he came by and, you know, he's a regular Wyoming guy, you know, probably like 60, real skinny, muscular, rugged, looks like a cowboy, really hard worker. Didn't bring a younger, hipper assistant, which is weird in Wyoming. He didn't need it. He probably fired them all because they're all...
They're too hip.
They're too hip. Yep. Terminally hip. So...
They're too hopped up on spice.
You know, if a plumber's assistant is hopped up on spice, you're just going to spill some poo. If an electrician's assistant is hopped up on spice, people could die. So, he's smart. Yeah. He's a do-it-yourselfer.
Beavis is a do-it-yourselfer.
He started testing stuff and opening up outlets, and I was helping him. I was being his assistant. I was bending over. I was moving stuff. I was bending over and testing with my tester, which was the same as his tester. I thought he'd have a really fancy one, but he had a little $6 one. I had a little $5 one. And he explained what it was. He went out to in the garage and looked in the panel on the wall. The black and white wires were switched of how they should be. So he switched them, and then some of the outlets were fixed and some of them weren't. And it's because in our house, they're wired really wacky. It's like series parallel with like circuits spreading across rooms. Usually it's each room's on its own thing. So, which is not dangerous in and of itself. It just makes it really hard to diagnose a problem. So he started pulling stuff out and testing it and using his power drill screwdriver to open up outlets and test them inside and look inside. And he kept looking for what he called a home run, which is the one he could switch that would make all the ones downstream from that be correct. And our house didn't have one of those. So he started messing. I thought he was going to be here like 2 days or something. You know, he'd been here like an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to cost. I was calling you on the phone. And then the phone like went dead. My computer went dead. And I had to call you on the cell phone because, you know, he hit the circuit breaker for like the living room and stuff in my bedroom went off. It was weird. So,
poor Michael. That must have been hell for you. That was your own personal hell.
I know. It was
no
like
no internet,
like hours
no computer.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible.
No religion, dude.
I spent most of the time petting Charlie and watching squirrels out the window and helping the electrician. So then he finally fixed it in like 2 hours and 15 minutes, put everything back together.
Oh, all right.
And I said, how much? And he said, $150. I'm nice. Like, holy crap. I said, that is reasonable. And I wrote him a check. And I went around and tested them all when he was done, and they were all correct. So,
awesome.
You know, I live in this like cockpit of electricity. I'm surrounded on three sides by electrical stuff. And
yeah,
I spend most of my day sitting here. Even when I'm not podcasting, I'm planning a podcast. I'm getting us on radio. I'm doing stuff. I'm always on all these machines. I'm recording demos for ads for Creamy Radio Audio. So,
Creamy.
So for $150, I saved my life, made our house nicer, and it was great. Because I was thinking in California, like, you know, three guys would have come by, they would have spent 2 days, and they would have charged me a grand, and probably not fix it right. And they got unions there, so, you know, it's kind of price fixed. So, and like what he did was he just switched the black and white wires, and then put a note in there that they were switched, and then put black tape on the white wire and white tape on the black wire, which is legal in Wyoming. In California or Massachusetts, that would get you like kicked out of the union and you'd lose your license and it would be a code violation and they would like come take your house if you didn't fix it. But in Wyoming, they're like, if it works, if it's safe, if it's clearly labeled, no problem.
We can all agree on it. Yeah, in California, somebody would have had to come in and bring a bunch of union guys to rewire the whole thing.
The house. They would have taken pickaxes and saws to the walls, man.
Yeah. And because, then they would have had to hire other subcontractors from their own unions to work on the drywall and repairing it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Because in those walls where no one can see it, the black wire is white and the white wire is black. That's racist, man, California.
That's racist.
Yep. Sean Diwali's an electrician in Massachusetts, and I was saying I thought it was going to cost like a grand, so I was just going to fly him out and have him do it here, but he's like, oh, I can't do that, man. Get in trouble.
He'd get in trouble?
Yeah.
Because he probably has other work to do.
Well,
he's got his own
life. Because I don't know. Electricianizing outside of the union rep area or something. I don't know how it works. So you and I had a conversation. Basically what happened was, I did some research online after he told me what the problem probably was, and I realized like I could fix this myself. And I said that to my wife, and she's like, "I don't think so. I kind of like I like having you around. I think we should pay
I
for
kind
a
of
per-
like, it's
well,
okay
no,
to
she
have
very
you
she loves having me around. Basically, she's like, I want you alive. Why don't we hire a professional?" And I was like, "Okay," but I love Wyoming, man. Electrician here is so much different than electricians, you know, other places, and I dig it. And so you and I had a conversation about that. Do you want to read this chat log here?
Sure.
I was screaming at you about ground issues and didn't bother to keep my own side of the street clean. Remember, I was telling you like, oh, you're in this closet podcasting and you need to have, I don't know, but your ground might be bad. So
Well, you were so aghast when I said, I found the ground wire and pulled it out and grounded the adapter myself.
Yeah.
And you were like, what?
Yeah.
You were touching, you don't even know if that's a ground wire. And I'm like, well, it looks like the ground wire in every other outlet. Like I checked the other outlets. It's the same exact wire. And you were like,
Well, you were right, though. You were like, go buy yourself a ground tester, and that's what we landed on. And probably the best $5 I ever spent, man.
I know. I
mean, for peace of mind, I plug it in to any outlet I use before I use it and make sure that everything is kosher. And then I know that when there's issues, I just – that's not a problem. That's not part of the troubleshooting chain, man. I don't have to worry, well, am I getting some kind of weird buzz or pulse from somewhere else, you know? No, because my ground is perfect. Everything – the outlet tester said everything is green, green, green. So
I told you should take it to parties and test people's – you know, be the free – be the market non-licensed checker. Go to parties and check people's electricity. They'd probably be like,
well, like if
you buzzkill, get out of my party.
Yeah. But yeah, man. Well, because you were telling me some horror story about some guy you knew back in your rock musical band days
Eric Rad. Eric Rad died, man, mm-hmm. on stage. Eric Rad was the singer in Housecoat Project, which was, the singer was Mary St. Mary, who was the wife of somebody in Flipper at the time. They have a kid together, but they're no longer together. And the guitarist in Housecoat Project was Jay, who was later in my band Bomb. And this is right before I moved to San Francisco. They were on stage at the MAB, the Fab MAB, the Mabuhay Gardens, which was the Filipino dinner club by night. There was a punk rock club in the day. And Eric stepped up to the mic and got knocked into the drum set, and everyone applauded and thought it was part of the show, and he was dead. So grounding is important, man. Grounding is important. You know, if I were in a band, I would carry a ground tester, and if the club wasn't grounded, I wouldn't play, and I'd have that in my contract. Yep. Seriously.
Yep. We'll have more fiends coming up soon.
Morphines. Flintstones chewable morphines.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Yo, it's them fiends.
Yo.
What it do? This is segment two of on February 22nd, Sunday live show.
Yo.
All right, and you can call in still. Our call-in number is 307-215-5171. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yep.
And Michael has a problem.
No, I have solutions, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had to borrow $50 from you to get my preamp, which is kind of weird because I usually have more money than you because you're young and up and coming, and I'm old and established, and you will be fabulously wealthy by the time you're my age. But yeah, I mean, we had some money in the bank, but it's our like house fund. It was supposed to be for the poo tube, which I don't think we're going to need to fix now because the poo tube seems to have fixed itself. But so DJ wouldn't let me.
Do poo tubes really fix themselves?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like you got to stick
denial.
Something in the poo tube.
I'm in
and move
denial.
It around a little bit.
I'm in denial, man. So we're okay. Talking about the house, not our bodies. So so DJ wouldn't let me spend household money on a tube preamp. For some reason, she doesn't think that a tube preamp is a household problem, but I think it is, but that's fine. I had enough money otherwise from personal money and fiends donations that I bought a tube preamp with help from NEMA, and I couldn't wait. I could have waited a week till I got my next check from royalties, but I am powerless over tube preamps, man. I'm like a junkie, and I was thinking about what it goes back to, and this is like some real compulsive disclosure here, but I was molested by a teenage boy when I was 8, and it wasn't, I mean, it was consensual, but, you know, people debate whether or not, you know, someone that age has consent power, but
right.
He basically bribed me into having sex with him by paying me a tape recorder. And I told you that, and you're like, man, that explains a lot.
Right,
that explains
right.
a lot.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you ever need Michael to do anything for you, bribe him with audio gear.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the way to Michael's heart.
And,
it's
you know,
a tape recorder when you're a little boy.
I never needed hey, little boy, want a cassette player?
want a tape recorder?
I never needed therapy for that.
I mean, like, I guess this, we shouldn't really be laughing about it, but
I can laugh about it. It was me, you know. So
yeah, okay.
This microphone is my therapist. I don't need a therapist. So there.
There you go. There.
Yeah. So you want to talk about jackalopes? What's a jackalope? And where did they originate?
A jackalope is a mythical creature. Did they originate in Wyoming?
Douglas, Wyoming. It was two brothers who were taxidermists. They have like postcards at truck stops from everywhere in the South and everywhere except like L.A. and New York that say, "Greetings from Oklahoma," and have a picture of a photo, you know, like Photoshop, pre-Photoshop, you know, photo manipulation of like a rabbit with a saddle on it with giant horns, antelope horns. But it was actually made by a couple brothers about 100 years ago who were taxidermists in Douglas, Wyoming.
Ah, okay.
And there is a picture of you and a picture of me riding on the stuffed jackalope in DJ. Where's the jackalope?
Oh, what was that town?
The one you ride on.
I forgot now.
Du Bois.
Du Bois. Not Dubois, but Du Bois.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I remember now. In fact, most people I knew in Wyoming that were transplants, you know, weren't natives, had a picture because they had traveled through Du Bois at some time. You know,
oh, it's our Golden Gate Bridge. It's our Golden Gate Bridge.
Man. It is.
It's our Empire State Building.
Is a stuffed giant jackalope inside of a gas station, and you pay a dollar to go sit on it and get your picture taken.
I have a picture of me.
I bet you don't even have to pay the dollar.
You don't have to
climb up.
All you get for the dollar is the little certificate that says I rode the giant jackalope. I have a picture of me sitting on it holding a revolver. Which is kind of fun, but
nice.
Yeah. So there's politicians in Wyoming, the state reps here, the legislators, have a pending bill naming the jackalope as Wyoming's official mythical critter. Now, I think politicians should do nothing but things like this, but name things really. You know, the Saul Alinsky Memorial Auditorium, whatever.
There you go.
I think it's the best thing politicians do. If they're going to exist, they should spend their time naming things. Name it after yourself.
Give them some little busy work, right?
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of that whole Lou Rockwell thing that it'd be cheaper and better for everybody if we could just pay all the politicians yearly stipend. Yeah, and say, go stay at home. Or, hey, go to the Bahamas. You know, put the capital on some island paradise. And if you want to be a politician, you just go sit there and drink Mai Tais and draw money out of all of us.
Oh, one I've heard.
We wouldn't have the horrible laws and law enforcement and the economic interference.
I've heard an interesting minarchist solution for that. It's pay every congressman $1 million a year and then take off $1,000 for every word of legislation they write.
That's nice. I like that little angle there.
Yeah.
Okay. Genius. Yep. Genius.
So read this article on K9 News, which I guess is the Evanston, Wyoming equivalent of K2 News in Casper. Read the short article, "Bill Making Jackalope Official May Die in Committee." Oh, no.
All right. Dateline, Evanston, Wyoming. A bill to name the jackalope as Wyoming's official mythical critter may die in a Senate committee without a Senate vote. Oh, no. The bill cruised through the House on January 25th with one change. The original bill called the jackalope a mythical creature.
Mythical creature. Representative Hans Hunt of Newcastle proposed an amendment to the bill to read mythical critter. So the word, and saying the word critter is a little more Western, while creature is a bit more upscale for Wyoming. So this is what politicians do and what politicians should be doing. They should be arguing in committee and wasting time, spending time, wonderful use of time, to decide whether the word for the mythical beast of Wyoming, the jackalope, should be the mythical
creature or critter.
Exactly.
Good job.
Read more. Majority floor leader Kermit Brown.
Yeah, he's pretty popular there. Kermit Brown then consulted a dictionary for the precise meaning of critter. He discovered it is synonymous with creature.
Man.
this is great news copy.
Really?
All right. In the Senate, the bill has not been considered with such levity. On Monday, Senate President Tony Ross of Cheyenne sent the bill to the Senate Rules Committee. Historically, the Rules Committee has been known as a death committee, according to the bill's sponsor, Representative Dan Zwanitzer of Cheyenne, means they expect it to die.
I kind of like that. Like, adding rules to something kills it in Western legislatures.
There you go. There you go. Well, at least in Wyoming.
Adding more rules. Yeah. Like, basically, yeah. If a bill's more than three pages, they can't read it and understand it and have to pull out a book to tell the difference between critter and creature.
The dictionary.
Yeah. Bill Clinton argues over what the meaning of the word is. In Wyoming, they argue over the difference between a creature and a critter.
And a critter. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, read on. This is even better.
All right. The bill is a tribute to the late legislator Dave Edwards, and while Senate President Tony Ross said he loved Edwards, the bill doesn't rise to the level of significance of other bills.
Ooh, them's dismissal words, man. That's he's going to get voted out for saying that here. I love having you read news, man, because you're so good at it, because you used to do it for a living, and you were like the best person at the news station. Nobody at that station can even like hold your pooplication. I mean, they couldn't even like clean your microphone, man.
Ah, there you go. All right. Yeah, the rest is just about what happens in the future, so not that important. We actually have to go sell some things, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the micronation of Molossia.
Cool.
Which is actually kind of funny, too. It's very tongue-in-cheek, just like this jackalope story.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for some more fun theme news.
Worms.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
The Republic of Molossia, or Molossia, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. We should get their foreign minister on the phone.
Oh, I'd love it. I got to interview. I'm going to interview him for the gumbo.
Oh, totally. And by him, you mean His Excellency President Kevin Baugh, who is the military dictator of the Republic of Molossia, which is a military dictatorial banana republic. Located in the middle of Nevada.
Hey, we
of
got course, a we got a caller. Sovereign nation. We got Knight. Oh, Knight Vida, not Vidati. Ah. What's up, Knight?
Nothing. I wanted to tell a story about this LDC teacher I had.
Okay.
The one that said he didn't want to vote for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
All right. Tell everybody what LDC is for everybody listening.
Leadership Development Corps, like JROTC in high school or ROTC. Pretty much just okay. A mini version of that. And so he was telling us what we represented, and he was like saying, "You represent the United States government." And
does he have an accent?
Yeah, he has a pretty southern accent. He's retired now. And then he like asked us, "Well, repeat back to me, what do you represent?" And I said myself, and he looked at me. He looked at me like, "Don't you ever say that."
Wow. What'd you do?
I said I represent myself, and I in my mind, when he looked at me like that boy has something wrong with him, he was looking at me like that, and so I was thinking, he must be king of the statists. So.
King of the statists.
He's a wannabe king of the statists. Well, I mean, what happened after that? Did he let it slide?
No, he made me get on my face. Well, he didn't. Actually, no, I didn't do any push-ups. He was like, do you want to get on your face and do push-ups? And I'm like, yes, I do, because I like doing push-ups. I like doing push-ups, and he only does things that we don't want to do, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why do you remain in that organization? What do you get out of it?
Well, I mean, I'm not really in it because of I don't know, because of my hate for the government, but it's just it interests me. It's just something different to do, and I'm more involved in it.
Well, you could probably learn skills that'd be useful in starting and running your own micronation, which we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Knight. You got any closing comments?
Yep. Fiends are cute.
Say, if you like,
we are cute.
Do your ad for the Fiends.
Oh, the actual ad?
Yeah, say it.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Worms. Thanks, Knight.
Worms.
Take care, man.
Yeah. Worms.
I think it was Jay Haley on Facebook said he was going to take a picture of himself shooting a crocodile with a hook attached to the transmission of a car and say, I don't see the appeal.
That's awesome. I think I'm going to call this episode Micronations, Microphones, and Molestations. Micronations and Molestations, oh my.
Oh yeah. My.
So talk more about Micronations.
All right. Well, this Republic of Molossi guy is just hilarious. He's very tongue-in-cheek, and he's apparently gotten away with not paying property taxes since between 1998 and 2010, according to the Wiki article.
I think it's because that county gets enough tax revenue or tourism revenue that it's worth it to just leave them alone. Because people do travel.
Custom station and people go and visit Molossia. And they are actually at war. So he also encourages you to buy war bonds. The Republic of Molossia has claimed to be fighting a war with East Germany, has issued bonds, and it claims to have been fighting it since November 2nd, 1983. Although East Germany is now defunct, President Baugh asserts that Ernst Thamel Island, allegedly given to East Germany by Cuba in 1972, is a sovereign territory of East Germany and thus allows for the war to continue.
Yes.
it's just really hilarious because he's doing all of these silly arbitrary things that are exactly what real states or major micronations do.
Macronations.
Oh, and also, due to unrest and ever-present foreign menace from over the border, of course the border with the United States, a state of martial law exists, enabling the president, Kevin Baugh, to exercise all powers of governance, including foreign affairs, while making the National Assembly an advisory body with little to no legislative powers.
Has he executed anyone yet?
Ah, good question. It doesn't appear so, but maybe they're doing it in some kind of secret torture dungeon like the U.S. government does.
Well, DJ and I have a micronation. We call our property Nestlandia, and we started that in California because we call our house The Nest. And, you know, my broadcast booth here is the inner moist chamber of The Nest or of Nestlandia. And we actually put it on the Wikipedia page for my list of micronations, and it lasted about a day and then got taken off because no one had heard of Nestlandia. But the first time I ever spoke with you on the internet and podcasted with you, it was on Radio Free Nestlandia, which was my old podcast with DJ.
Well, as Eddie Izzard would say, do you have a flag? Because I think that makes the difference. You didn't have a flag, and you didn't claim other territory. See, the Molossia guy did. He claims a spot named Neptune Deet in the North Pacific Ocean. So a little part of the underwater in the North Pacific Ocean he claims is his own. And he has a flag, and he has medals. That's important, too. Give yourself a little medal.
He looks pretty awesome with these medals.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a parody of a military hero, which, you know, a lot of military heroes are parodies anyway.
They're parodies of themselves.
Yeah.
All right. And apparently, if you'd like to know more about micronations, there's actually a Lonely Planet travel guide.
Those
famous for the travel guides.
I'm putting the link in the show notes, and it's in the
show notes
in the chat room. Yeah.
Yes. And on the cover is, of course, a local couple standing in front of their home, dressed in full regal uniform, even with a little royal puppy.
With a crown on the puppy on a little purple pedestal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I tried to get
a stamp that says real people, real places. 100% true. So you could have your own state if you so desire.
I tried to get DJ to come in here and talk about the micronation of Nestlandia with us, but she said that she was too busy being doing the queenly duties as queen of Nestlandia. And I walked in there and she was reading the book Shooter, actually. You know, the
important. That's government research. That's state research for Nestlandia, isn't it?
The woman that plays the woman, basically one of the only women in the movie Shooter, the one who's the widow of the hero's spotter, you know, that's killed on the peacekeeping mission where it already looks pretty peaceful. And, you know, he ends up like getting patched up at her house and getting a 22 from her that he uses to kill a bunch of government goons at 300 yards with a silencer made out of a plastic soda bottle. That mm-hmm. woman is in my new favorite show, House of Cards. She plays like a low level kind of blogger at the equivalent of the Washington Post who, you know, she starts out as like the intern. And by the third episode, she's basically Woodward and or Bernstein.
Nice.
Well, and they offer her the job as the like that paper's official White House correspondent, and she turns it down because she's like, no, that's just, you know, reporting what they tell me to do. I want to dig dirt.
Yeah.
It's a really like high level honorable job for a DC journalist. And she's like, I'm doing better with my blog, man. Go away.
Yeah, it's really sad that it's a high-level job because, like you said, those are the people that go sit in that room like it's a classroom and listen to usually not even the president but the president's press secretary tell lies to them. And when they ask questions of him, he says, that's what the president says. That's the president's policy.
Yeah.
And that's how it clarifies. You can't even do good follow-ups.
Yeah.
But we'll come back with more Fiends very soon.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yo.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Yo.
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 Welcome back.
Yo.
Delicious freedom.
Delicious dish of freedom. Speaking of delicious dishes of freedom, I forgot to mention that there is a libertarian character in the show House of Cards.
Is there an openly libertarian, or is he in the closet?
Oh, he's openly libertarian. I don't think he's a recurring character, but he's very important in one episode. He's about 50 years old. His girlfriend looks about 17. He lives in a trailer in Alabama. He publishes a printed newsletter that makes Alex Jones look like sane. And there's a scene where he spends the night doing coke with a congressman. So that's
all right. And so doing coke with a congressman makes you. I thought that made you a Republican.
It's a Democrat congressman.
Okay. Still,
you know, that's one thing, like the whole first episode, you don't know if Kevin Spacey's character is a Republican or a Democrat. It absolutely doesn't matter. You find out later he's a Democrat, but it absolutely doesn't matter what he is in the show, which is really kind of makes a point I'd agree with.
Different turds, same toilet.
Although I'm sure the Democrats are like, boy, I'm glad if there's going to be people who are that evil and effective that they're on our side.
Well, that was the whole a lot of people were saying that about the Lincoln movie. The latest thing that Steven Spielberg did was that's the lesson we can learn is you can be a mean old bad corrupt politician and use those evil powers for good. And we need to take that lesson to heart.
Is he painted really as evil in that movie?
No, but he does a lot of underhanded things, apparently. I mean, I would never watch it. I mean, maybe if I really had a sadistic streak one day, I might watch it. But supposedly, he sort of, I guess they probably portray it as bending the rules and doing things that are somewhat inappropriate or aren't the normal method, but that the means is justified by the ends, I think is basically the gist of it. I mean, I don't know. I'm reviewing a movie I didn't see, but that's what I had read about the movie. Not from a libertarian necessarily, but from a liberal, or at least it seemed like a liberal, justifying the movie.
So I want to talk about the war on crazy.
All right. Speaking of Lincoln.
Yeah. New York City has a hit list now of mentally unbalanced, quote unquote, people who are being actively rounded up and institutionalized.
Really?
Yeah. Because they decided that out of the 8 million people in New York, you know, at least a million of which are probably crazy and armed, regardless of any laws, you know, that there's 20 that they have to find to prevent the next Fort Hood, you know, the next shooting, mass shooting. So,
of course, they cross-check that with the list of government officials. And if you're on both lists, then they ignore you.
Yeah. So... And under Obamacare, even like before Obamacare, like people told me about in some states going to doctors now. And one of the questions of the, you know, on the thing you fill out that says like, you know, are your parents alive? What did they die of? Have you ever had heart conditions, et cetera? One of the questions now is, do you own guns? And there's like tiny little print that says, this question is necessary to protect the president of the United States, which is the most bizarre thing to write.
Wow.
Because I don't know how the average person would get near the president, even if they intended to do ill and own guns, because he's guarded. He's protected by guns. You can't be, but he is. Mm-hmm. Any president, not just Obama, all the Republicans. We didn't like George Bush either, since you're going to, I'm sure, show this episode to your friend. I want to go back to that for a sec. George Bush was horrible. And Reagan... Yep. Reagan, you know, if you want to take it from a minarchist, the state is good in some ways attitude, Reagan cut off all the funding to the mental hospitals in California, and that's why there are so many crazy people on the streets in LA and San Francisco, or part of it. Also, just living in California makes you crazy. But so they're actively rounding up, or at least making lists of gun owners and cross-checking it with people who are crazy. They're going to, what this is going to do, and I talked to someone in the military the other day, and he said that they are actively doing that kind of gun grabbing stuff with soldiers, even active duty, like on barracks. You can't have a personal sidearm. You know, like if you're a soldier in the army.
I had known that. That's one of the reasons the Fort Hood shooter got away with so much.
But they're stepping it up.
In a military base.
But he was a psychiatrist, man.
He was a psychiatrist in a military base, and he went on a shooting spree, and the soldiers there didn't have carry arms with them.
Right.
You know? They, just like the normal average Texan would in Texas, you go shoot up a group of 50 people and guaranteed one of them is going to have a concealed weapon on them.
Yeah. So they're going after this stuff. And what I think it's going to do is make the country less safe and more crazy, not what they're trying to say. They're saying they're trying to do, which is to make it more safe and less crazy. And here's why. People who have depression but aren't necessarily dangerous, or maybe a small percentage of them are not going to seek help because they're like, I don't want to get put on a list and get my guns taken away. And even people who've never owned a gun, you know, like in New York City, where of course no one owns guns because it's illegal. You can't possibly own a gun there. Those people aren't going to seek help because they're like, man, they're rounding up crazy people. I'm depressed, but I don't want to, you know, I like my life outside. I don't want to be in a hospital. So it's going to have the unintended consequence of having less people who really need help seeking help.
Yeah. Well, it's really sad that, you know, I just think this is another straw on the camel's back with how the state has ruined any kind of thought to mental health services or therapy towards individuals. You know, this is just one extra thing. The other horribly huge thing is Big Pharma basically turning, you know, a lot of the profession into just people who dole out pills, you know, nothing but drug dealers who give out pills that make people crazier. And this whole gun thing, you know, that turns the whole thing around to where the person who you're going to therapy for or the mental health expert or official is your judge. They're judging you. And how are you going to have a healthy type of introspection if you don't feel comfortable with the other person talking to you because they're judging you and they have power over your life? You know, that doesn't seem like a very good thing for improving and learning self-knowledge.
There's a rant by libertarian comedian Doug Stanhope about child molesters or people who fancy children, maybe don't molest them, but just, you know, people exchanging kiddie porn, etc. on the internet. And he's like, I don't want that off the internet. I want to know who those people are. You drive them off the internet, they're going to go to the schoolyard. And it may be kind of a macho libertarian flash thing. It may not be, but it's the same kind of effect that we're talking about here, where if you have a war on crazy, the people who could possibly get help from psychiatry, which I don't even know if they can, those people are not going to end up in psychiatry. I mean, the wide net is going to bring some people into psychiatry who, you know, probably don't like their job or their school and kind of complain about it, but it's probably not going to find the people who are truly dangerous, because every news thing I've ever seen of some guy that went crazy and shot a bunch of people, you know, the sound on tape, the man on the street interview, the neighbor is always, he was a nice, quiet man and always kept to himself and helped us carry our groceries. You know, the crazy people don't look crazy, man. The people that look crazy are the ones that probably aren't. And I'm not saying, you know, the sane ones are in the institution and everyone else is crazy. No, I'm saying, like, people who generally are going to snap and go nuts generally have no discernible warning signs. It's easier now that there's an internet because they tend to blab on the internet. But I think the most dangerous ones probably aren't even on the internet. If you're not on the internet, you're dangerous. That's what they think, because they want you on the internet, you know, to see what you do. There's a thing I don't like about the Prairie Pravda, the Tribune here, other than the paywall, is whenever you try to post a link to it, it adds a really long, unique numerical link at the end so they can track like what IP address shared it. So I always I curl that back and just take it off and go to the root URL.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe there's a silver lining in all this, though. I mean, maybe people who, I don't know if this counts for the people who would have snapped or not, but maybe the general person, instead of going and seeking these normal institutional channels of mental health help, maybe they'll be more open to things like 12-step programs, which counter this by anonymity. I mean, maybe anonymity, I think that's built into the system or natural to that system because of that, because you can be more open if you're not being judged. You can be more honest with another person and therefore yourself if whatever you say doesn't even stay there but just disappears into the ether. You just get it out instead of bottling it up.
Yep. Someone just said that Stefan Molyneux said that House of Cards was also good, so it must be good.
Yeah, I think he also likes other status TV shows, though, so I don't know.
He's in Canada, man. I don't know, maybe it's a different brand of anarchy up there. Because you have to go to the government doctors.
I think it's an age thing. I think some people need to see old.
I'm older than him, believe it or not.
All right. Well, we'll be back soon, next week or something.
If an atomic clock stops, is it incredibly right twice a day?
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together?
Is it? Nima?
It would be just as right as any other broken clock.
Well, it's digital, so it'd be not right at all. That was a question from Mark. I liked it. Well, we're finishing up our post game here, so say worms.
Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your
house is your property. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.